You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Molly Wood, in for Lizzie O'Leary. Incredibly, it's not just the Zika virus, the economy, and the corruption plaguing the Olympics this year. One of the most high-profile concerns around the Games has to do with swimming, sailing, rowing, and canoeing. Water quality in Rio is a major concern for athletes who could get sick just touching or swallowing even a little bit of the water. But it's also a huge issue for Brazilians day in and day out. And the Games are just shining a light on a problem that affects cities all over the world, including here at home. Zoe Schlanger is a senior writer at Newsweek. She covers this stuff. Hi, Zoe.
Hey, Molly. How's it going?
Good. I am both sad that I am not in Brazil for the Olympics, but maybe a little relieved.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I mean, I think people know what the deal is with the water, but what is the deal with the water? How did it get so bad?
The water there is pretty rough. About half of everything any Rio resident flushes down the toilet ends up in their waterways untreated, which is not atypical of many, many cities around the world, but the Olympics, as it tends to do, is highlighting this major issue.
But how is Brazil addressing these concerns about the safety of the water for the Olympics, and more importantly, for after the Olympics?
Yeah, so when Brazil got the Olympics, in their plan, they said they'd reduce all of the poop flowing into the waterways by about 80%. And about a year after that, they said that's just not going to happen. It's too big of a problem. They now say that's going to take about 20 years. So, you know, we're looking at like 2035. Maybe there'll be less sewage in the water. But it's a huge problem for the Olympics this year. I know the AP did their own testing and found viral levels just off the charts in all of the water where Olympians will be swimming and boating. And it's about 1.7 million times what would be acceptable on a beach in, say, California. So it's pretty dirty.
Wow.
Bacterial levels are within a decent range, and that was the case until another study found a superbacteria, meaning it's not susceptible to things like antibiotics, also floating around in those waterways.
How common is this globally for water to be this dirty in major metro areas?
It's remarkably common, actually. In the developing world, especially common, about 90% of all waste ends up untreated in waterways in the developing world. But I live in New York City, where it happens here too. Every time it rains more than a 20th of an inch, all of our sewage treatment plants become overwhelmed, and all of the waste pours directly into waterways. Not necessarily the waterways we're drinking from, which is a problem in many other places in the world, but certainly places where we could take a swim or a kayak.
Let's turn to the U.S. then, because you would think that there would be cleaner water in the U.S. To some extent there is, but we'd still have problems with water safety, even in drinking water, like the lead in Flint, of course, and some of the same issues with sewage. How bad is it here?
We really do. Flint was just in the news. Six more state officials are indicted for the lead poisoning there. And we're finding more and more that that's kind of also typical of different cities. I know that in schools, for example, lead pipes are still a major issue. So water issues as a whole in this country are pretty dire and under-talked about, for sure.
And let's talk about cost. I mean, cost is, you know, why Flint ended up in that position in the first place. But how much would it cost to fix this, maybe just in the U.S.?
In the U.S., the numbers are kind of all over the place because it depends on the city. And there's about 750 cities in the U.S. that have the same sort of, it's called combined sewage overflow problem of waste going directly into the waterways. But the EPA says around $150 billion would fix this. And the UN for the same problem says around $325 billion. So it's a range, but either way, it's about half how much we spend each year on defense, for example.
Wow, that's a big number. One imagines that maybe in a developing country or even in Brazil, where their economy has really faltered, numbers like that, assuming that they're even remotely comparable, would be sort of impossible, right?
One would think that, yeah. And there is an ongoing investigation now, actually, into where the funds to clean up the water for the Olympics went, because they had planned and allocated money to build about 8 new sewage treatment plants in Rio ahead of the Olympics, and only one got built. But either way, I mean, the country is going through tremendous political turmoil. It's hard to imagine this getting fixed anytime soon. It's also interesting just because after the Olympics is gone, Brazilians are absolutely still dealing with this. For children under 5, it's the second leading cause of death is actually contact with water and diarrhea-related diseases coming after that.
Right. And now it cannot be ignored, one would assume, after this amount of press. I mean, it's one thing to talk about Olympic sailors who have chosen to go there and compete, but it's quite another to to say that about children dying from it.
Absolutely. It's definitely interesting with the Olympics, the same thing we saw happen in Beijing with air quality. Air pollution in Beijing was off the charts. The Olympics came and people wouldn't stop talking about it. And people are still talking about Beijing air quality in a way that they hadn't been prior to 2008.
Zoe, what are some possible solutions? I mean, we're in the technological age, right? Can't we? Aren't there clever things happening out there to fix these problems with our water?
There actually are. The problem is they're quite expensive, but I don't know if you heard about this. Last year, there was this viral video of Bill Gates drinking a glass of water that had been sewage about 5 minutes before. And that's actually related to something California is trying to do right now. There's one plant that opened in 2008 that's turning sewage wastewater into potable drinking water.
Wow.
Now, the ick factor with this is enormous, and California is having a hard time getting residents to be down for the kind of toilet-to-tap concept here. But the concept is that one day we will be actually not wasting our waste, actually turning it back into potable water, kind of connecting the circle of life, if you will.
If you will. You know, you mentioned the ick factor, and yes, it is extreme. But also, we've seen such an unwillingness globally and even in America to invest in infrastructure to make these big changes. What is it going to take?
It might take looking at waste in a different way. I think that some people are trying to make the argument that there's a lot of missed economic opportunity in making water safer for people to drink. The UN put out some figures a while ago that said that every dollar put into wastewater infrastructure and efforts to make water cleaner actually puts another up to $34 into the economy by way of, let's say, health costs that were never incurred by people getting sick from their water and things of that nature. So if we could see the long-term picture, which is always difficult for governments and states and things like that, this might look like a more attractive option, actually investing on the front end and fixing the problem once and for all.
Zoe Schlinger is a senior writer at Newsweek. Thanks so much, Zoe.
Thanks, Molly.